from the Word of God, the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Behold, I send a messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the covenant, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and as a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, also beginning at verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, while Annas and Caiaphas were high priests. The word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region round about Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain shall be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. As we celebrate Advent and think of good news, the good news of Jesus Christ begins with John the Baptist, wild John, long-haired John, big bad John. John dressed in the skins of wild animals, wandering through the wilderness, eating locust and wild honey, and calling out to the people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, sometimes we get it wrong when we listen to the message of John. We combine the word of John about repentance with the message that Malachi and Isaiah gave us, speaking about preparing a way for the Lord in the wilderness, leveling the mountains and hills, filling in the valleys. And we get to thinking that we're the ones that must do the work of leveling the mountains and hills and raising up every valley and smoothing out every rough place. But that's not the message that John proclaimed. John's message is a message of grace. And all this talk about lifting up every valley and making straight the paths and leveling every mountain and hill, and it's not talk about what we must do as our part of repentance. But rather it's talk about what God does as a result of our repentance, as a result of our turning towards Him and acknowledging our need for Him and determining to walk in His way. The good news of faith, the news that makes our faith so much different from other faiths throughout the world, is that God reaches out to us. This is so much different than human-based religions, that we can only please God if we do this or if we do that. You've seen the pictures, you've read the stories of people who climb staircases on their knees to satisfy their God. A people who would walk miles, swim rivers to satisfy their God. The Christian faith is one in which God calls out to us and comes to us and invites us to be reunited with Him and to live with Him in joy and peace. In 1931, the leaders of communist Russia built a railroad that runs from St. Petersburg all the way to Moscow. And it's a straight line. I've ridden some railroads in Russia. I haven't been on the Red Arrow line, the Krasnaya Stella line. And all the ones I've ridden in wind around, getting connection to every little village and town around, stopping and stopping and stopping so that a 600-mile journey takes 14 to 18 hours. This line that they built from St. Petersburg to Moscow is a straight line, and the train doesn't stop anywhere along the line. And they built that train, they built that line, so that the leaders of Russia would be able to go between those two major cities without any interference, without any imposition on them. And in sort of a kind of a way, that's what Malachi is talking about. That's what Isaiah was talking about. That's what the proclamation of John is about. God levels and smooths out the way and lifts up and straightens the path so that we have a direct route to Him. We don't have to go around the corner. We don't have to go around the bend. It's not up and down. It's a straight path from our hearts to the cross of Jesus Christ. And what we're called on when we repent and believe is to walk the road that God has prepared. The road that leads to love. The road that leads us to Him. The road that He smoothed and leveled with love. So what is repentance? Well, first of all, repentance is not a word that was invented by the church. It's a word that goes way back in history, back before the time of maps even, when you would be wandering through the countryside or through the forest or through the wilderness, and all at once you realize, I'm lost. And what you have to do is turn around, realize you're going in the wrong direction, and just stop and say, I'm lost. I'm going in the wrong direction. That's the first step. But you don't really deal with the problem until you change directions. That's step two. I marvel here in the 21st century when we travel about the technology of the global positioning satellites, the GPS. When Bonnie and I were first married and traveled, we had a book of maps in the car. And we'd read the maps and we'd study and we'd outline them to know where we were going. And before she bought for me what I call Elena, our GPS, to give us direction, there would be times when we were driving that I would make 5 right-hand turns in a row. And Bonnie would say, are you lost? And I would respond, humble soul that I am, and proclaim, no, I'm not lost. And then she'd note that I made 3 more right-hand turns and say something that no loving spouse should ever say to another. Why don't you stop and ask for directions? Well, that's kind of like John's preaching in the wilderness. At first, you don't want to hear it. I don't know about you, but asking for directions was something that I didn't want to do. I wanted to believe that I was self-reliant and in control. But finally the message would sink in. And I admit to myself, and sometimes even to her, that while I'm driving the car, I'm not really in control. And I'd stop and ask for directions. Admitting that we're lost is the beginning of repentance. That's step number one. And step number two is taking the advice that we receive when we stop and ask for directions and follow those directions. Actually turn the car around and go the way we've been told to go. It's an easy thing to do as long as I don't forget step one. The step that requires me to admit that I need to follow someone else's directions. The step that requires all of us to admit that we need God and God's direction rather than do what we think is best. To repent, then, we have to change directions. And all the thinking, wishing, praying will not create repentance until we actually turn around and go down the road. Repentance is more than a feeling. It's a confession coupled with action, a change of direction. And when we confess and act, when we decide to go in the way that God calls us to go and then do it, God takes care of the rest. God prepares the road for us and leads us to Himself. Actually, God is already coming down the road towards us, like in the story of the prodigal son, who's already down the road to meet the son before the boy is close enough to make his speech of repentance and return. Repentance is more than a feeling. We can resolve to repent, but until we make up our minds and tell God we're sorry, until we actually do something different, we haven't repented. We've only talked about it. And so in the case of repentance, it is God who has prepared the way. It is God who's filled in the valleys, God who's leveled the mountains, God who's taken all the twists and turns out of the road and made the road straight. And we have to leave our old road, our old paths of good intentions that lead us farther and farther away from God, and acknowledge that our God, our Lord, controls our lives. And repentance means that we submit to Him, that we put ourselves into His hands and in the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said all of this, let me repeat what I said at the beginning. John's message is a message of grace. The transformation of our lives is not something that we do. It's something that God does for us as we walk the road that God has prepared for us. God calls us to acknowledge that there are areas in our lives when we're on the wrong path, and to turn to God and walk the path that He sets for us, obedient to His will. John called out to the people, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He calls out to them and to us to be immersed in the grace of God, to be walking the road that God has prepared for us, looking for His presence, listening for His commands, doing as He asks us to do for Him, for ourselves, for our brothers and sisters, and for our world. And as we walk the road of the Lord will fill in the valleys and level the mountains and make the crooked paths straight and the rough ways smooth. As we walk towards God, He walks towards us and gives to us the grace and peace and joy and strength and hope and love that we need to live in this grace full world. God wants us to be in loving relation with Him. A healing relation with Him. A good relation with Him. In fact, God loves us so much that He comes to us without reserve, without qualification. And the child born in Bethlehem, God came to live with us and establish peace with us. And what a joy that when we repent, change directions, turn towards God, we discover that God made the way straight for us. And He's already walking towards us.